It's Composing Thoughts. I'm John Clare. Each week we explore new sounds with living composers and artists. Alex Shapiro is a fun and engaging composer. She's well represented online and on recordings on Innova, Crystal Records, Centaur Records, and on her blog, Notes from the Kelp. She studied at Juilliard and at the Manhattan School of Music and has won awards from ASCAP, the American Music Center, and the American Composers Forum. I caught up with her in January 2008. Weston in New York City, nice cold January day, talking with Alex Shapiro. Thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, John. This is great.
Oh, it's a very cool thing. I've known your music. Actually, had I gone on with a third season of 2020 Hearing, I would have talked to you.
I remember that.
You were going to be one of my composers.
I was next in line, and actually, I took it personally. I figured it was my being in the lineup that just closed the show.
I think it might have. It might have.
I took it personally.
But luckily, after relocating to Harrisburg, Composing Thoughts came along. And so I think we reconnected through email and different things. So this is actually the first time we've been able to sit down in person and talk, because it's always a little nicer, I think, talking to someone in person. And I think you've probably experienced this too in doing interviews, that
Absolutely.
It's okay to do things over the phone or whatnot, but it's so much nicer when it's in person.
It's really true. I don't know what it is. It's a pheromonal thing. It's a human thing. It's a tribal thing. We communicate and connect with each other as people when we're looking at the body language and looking at each other's eyes. And it's really true that doing something with someone in person, and this ties in so much to music, when we talk about live music or recorded music, there is a difference. It's not that one is worse than the other, they're just different than the other. And that's absolutely true for recorded interviews versus when you actually have the victim in your clutches right here.
Oh yeah. No, it's and I like that analogy with live and recorded music, because there's something special, I think, about a world premiere. And you can hear a world premiere recording, and that's something nice. But I don't think those happen often enough. We have Graumeier winners the pieces have never been heard. And that, to me, it's nice to see a score because the music exists. But it's something special to have it there in your presence.
Absolutely.
And to hear it.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, all of our music is absolutely nothing but little black ink on a page, little black dots, until it is brought to life by musicians like you, who bring it really into what it is. Music doesn't exist in a real way, in an appreciative way, I don't think, until it is out in the air. You can claim that it exists in the composer's head and that he or she has notated it, and so it exists published on the page, but that's not the point of it. The point is, it's not artwork in most cases. For some people it is, and for some people it should be.
Yeah, really.
Please, just keep this as artwork. We don't need to hear this. Please, don't do this to us. But for the most part, we really do intend those little black dots to be heard, and all they are is a median transport system for the sound that we need to hear in the future. So you're absolutely right. It's got to be heard.
When you are composing, is it at the piano? Is it at the computer? Or are you a pencil and paper
Or is it
person?
Under the piano with a scotch in my hand?
Yeah, really. Like
banging my head pathetically against the pedals? No, it's got to be different. It's actually all of the above. It depends. The way I start a piece completely depends on the nature of the piece. And I write at the piano. If it's a piano piece, I love to write at the piano because I do play pathetically badly, but very passionately. I'm one of those really enthusiastic bad piano players. I'll play anything shamelessly. You just wouldn't want to have to pay for it in public if putting me on a stage to do it. But I'll just play the Dickens out of anything. So I've got a great piano at home, and I really do love to play. And so if I'm writing a piano piece or something that's heavy with piano, I love to have the physicality of the instrument right there. If I'm writing something that is too wild to even deal with in any other sampled or realized form, I will write it directly into a notation program. I use Sibelius, and so I'll write it directly into Sibelius without even being near a keyboard, because I hear the music in my head, and I know already what it sounds like and what the notes are. I just have to get them down. And then another way that I write very often, and I'm doing this on a piece right now, is when I think that someone will want to hear a sampled realization, a mock-up, as we call it, of a piece for rehearsal purposes and to understand what's going on musically and to pass it around to people and you know, be able to for the players to absorb it. I write directly into a sequencer program. In my case, I use Digital Performer, and I've got a pretty happening project studio in my house, and I work up my pieces there, and then I take those. Get exported to Sibelius, and so part of the copying work is done at that point, and then I finish it up in Sibelius. So it depends on the nature of what I'm writing, and sometimes I'll write very occasionally direct with pencil and paper, but those days are long gone for the most part. I'll do usually a few sketches for anything I'm writing. I love to do a few sketches of just ideas, like this is the motive I'm working with, these are the rhythms, these are the themes. Often I'll draw wild pictures and do things that aren't even musical looking to get started with something. And then I'll keep those pages, usually four or five loose pages, for reference with me. I love to use all these different tools just to see which one is going to stick for what piece is necessary for it.
This is Alex Shapiro's Slipping, written in 2006. It features violinist Robin Lorenz, harpsichordist Kathleen McIntosh, and playing varied percussion, Dan Morris. We heard Robin Lorenz, Kathleen McIntosh, and Dan Morris, violin, harpsichord, and percussion, respectively, in a work from 2006 called Slipping by composer Alex Shapiro. Find out more online at WITF.org.
Having been a pianist and composing early on, and then going out and kind of working in a sort of commercial way of with films and television, and then kind of coming back to more concert music more regularly, I should say.
Yeah.
If that, having constraints within, you have a 48-minute episode of a TV show or 2 hours of a film score, having those sorts of limitations affects the process and creativity, and did anything of that sort of time period affect your music now?
Well, that's really interesting, because the crafts of concert music and the crafts of film scoring are totally different in certain respects. When you're scoring to picture, what you're doing, your music is supporting someone else's vision, and it's supporting that vision down to the frame. I mean, you have X number of seconds to do that cue and to make your point musically and to score not what you feel in your heart necessarily, but what is on the screen that then needs you in your heart to respond to psychologically affect the scene for the viewers. I mean, that it's a whole different thing, whereas the blank page that we've got in concert music, it usually, let's say when someone hands you a commission, it's usually, they say, we want about a 20-minute piece or about a 7-minute piece or about 12 minutes, or, you know, they'll give you a rough range of what they're looking for, and usually they'll give you instrumentation, either because it's coming from an ensemble or whatever, or you know what your budget is, and you have a sense of the instrumentation. But beyond that, you're completely free. There's absolutely no time frame within which to paint your picture and to build your arc. You can decide, do I want the arc to be in the middle, or do I want it to be in two different places here and there, or do I want it to come at the very end, kind of like a bolero thing? Am I building to something at the very end? And that freedom is so wildly different than the beautiful craft of scoring to picture, which I have immense respect for. I think some of the very best music being written today is being written by some film composers. I have to tell you that. And it's the most moving music, and it's some of the best orchestrated music I've heard. I get frustrated sometimes at some of the contemporary music that might have a lot of players, but it still sounds so thin. It doesn't sound like it's using the resources that are available. Whereas a lot of film music, much of the point is, well, we have X number of resources and we want it to sound as big as possible and as moving as possible. So emotionally, I always respond to that very much. But anyway, I digress from your question. Of course, that's what I do. I'm here to digress. But at any rate, I do think that there's a difference in the approach of composing. And I think one of the reasons that I decided not to continue to pursue film and TV music, which I never had a stellar career in at all. I was just a low-level worker bee doing that. You know, did a bunch of things, never, most of them just never hit the radar at all. You know, I just kept working steadily on little things that most people would never hear of. And then I switched over very conscientiously to concert music. And now times have changed a lot since the 20, 25 years I've been in conservatory. Musical styles have changed. And I realized that what I really felt like writing was something that all of a sudden players would want to play and ideally listeners would want to listen to, which might not have been the case back in 1980. And so that was very rewarding for me to go to the concert music and then to have that freedom of making my own picture in my own head, which not all the pieces are programmatic, some of them are, to be able to paint your own journey and then paint a journey for your audience of what kind of trip do you want to take them on. I always see that. I feel like I've got you as a concert ticket payer. You paid your $30 and I'm holding you hostage for at least 15 minutes of the program, right? You're my hostage. So what do I get to do with you? What do I get to do with you? Because you're sitting there, you're probably not going to get out of your seat and leave. And I feel the responsibility to take you on some kind of magical journey emotionally. Now, that journey is always going to be different, no matter, you know, depending on the ensemble and the circumstance. But that's my responsibility, is to take you someplace special.
There's a very serious piece on here about your father.
Yeah.
And this is something that's part of life, mm-hmm. You know, that happens. And I thought it was very touching that it's on the album. Like I said, I think there's a very large range of emotions on this disc. I'm sure you're probably very proud of to have on there. But at the same time, I think reliving those sorts of feelings
it's
isn't fun.
It's very cathartic. And it's interesting for me, as cheery and chipper as I tend to be on the outside, it's actually easier for me to write the angst-filled music because I've got a lot of that inside. And that music, believe it or not, comes out even more simply. It flows out. And that piece for my father, which is part of an early suite of short piano pieces that I had composed about a decade ago, that Suzanne Kessel in Germany, in Bonn, Germany, did a gorgeous recording of. And I licensed that recording for my CD because I thought it would be so lovely to have on my CD to show exactly what you're saying, just the range of my emotion. And it balanced out some of the other things on the pieces on the disc. And Suzanne plays so beautifully. And that piece sort of wrote itself, I guess, and it was written right as my father was in the process of dying from dementia, and he died very young at 69. He had been suffering from this from the time he was in his early 60s, a very long 7 years, and everybody who's been through this knows how just horrific it is. And I loved my father very much, and it was very cathartic, I think, to write the music. And even now as I listen to it, I still find it really touching, which is, I don't mean to sound unhumble, but it moves me. You know, it means a lot to me emotionally when I listen to that piece, especially in Suzanne's hands. And I'm so happy that is on the album.
This work comes from the Piano Suite No. 1, The Resonance of Childhood. It's called For My Father. Suzanne Kessel performs at the keyboard. Susanna Kessel playing piano, a work by Alex Shapiro called For My Father. It's part of the Piano Suite No. 1, The Resonance of Childhood. You can find out more about Alex Shapiro and her music and her release Notes from the Kelp online at WITF.org and click on Composing Thoughts.
Current Events was so wonderful to write. That was cathartic too, because that was, I definitely wrote that in a very Western European tradition of trying to make, let me start by saying, I guess I was always really moved by Brahms and Beethoven and the way they use strings, Mendelssohn, Dvorak, where they take small groups and make them sound enormous. And I think that to me, it's just extremely powerful to take 3, 4, 5 players and make them sound like they're 10 players. And these masters from, you know, 100 and more years ago really did that to a fairly well. And that, those have been my teachers in terms of voicings and instrumentation and use of the instruments. And in string writing, most of all, it just really hits me. So I use that opportunity to write this quintet as an opportunity to kind of let out my personal Brahms and let out my personal Beethoven. And coming from you as a string player, that's really high praise. So thank you.
It's an absolutely lovely piece.
Thank you.
So you said you are writing a piece right now. Mm-hmm. What is it?
It's a commission I would never have expected to get. It came out of the blue. It's for the U.S. Army Concert Wind Band, the TRADOC Concert Wind Band. Commander and Major Todd Addison contacted me through MySpace, I'd like to add. It was really wacky. Through MySpace, through technology. You don't expect the government to be trolling for talent on MySpace, but there it was.
Amongst other things, right?
I thought this was just great, and I was so flattered to be asked to do this commission for them, which I'm delivering later this month, hopefully, and if all goes well. And it's for Concert Wind Band, and it's going to be performed in premiered in late March, and then presumably played a lot after that.
Yeah.
So it enters their repertoire. And I've been having a lot of fun doing that because concert wind band repertoire, as a lot of people know, tends to be sort of along the same lines. It tends to be in a certain niche. And it's very interesting to come to a composer like me who hears differently, who doesn't know all the standard voicings and all the standard ways of doing things for concert wind band, because there's a big standard paradigm there. And instead, I'm just listening with fresh ears and coming up with my ideas based on what I like to hear. And again, using big sound, but creating big chords and almost treating it a little bit more like a jazz chart, you know, the way a jazz band, a big band would be voiced. And there's a lushness to it. And using percussion differently than would typically be used in a band. I'm very mallet heavy for much of this piece.
Cool.
You know, in a way that you'd hear more in contemporary music and less in band stuff. But it's really been fun to come up with something that I hope is beautiful, that I hope that they'll love to play, and I hope the audiences will really love to listen to, but is a little different than the norm for what their repertoire is.
Shapiro says current events ponders the ocean's tides as well as waves of a more internal emotional nature. It was written in 2003 for string quintet. This is from the Innova CD called Notes from the Kelp. It's a CD called Notes from the Kelp. We heard Current Events, a string quintet by Alex Shapiro, written in 2003. Find out more online at WITF.org. You're listening to Composing Thoughts in an interview with Alex Shapiro.
The idea of technology, I mean, Sibelius is in your life.
Digital performer.
Absolutely. We've conversed via email. And a blog. I mean, is it hard to try to... And the photography is absolutely gorgeous.
I love
seeing items found on the beach. And I love seeing deer. I have 3 little deer that live in my yard practically. And I so appreciate seeing this sort of thing. Is it ever seem like juggling to try to do, you know, to make all this stuff? I mean, it's all related.
Yeah,
it's all Alex Shapiro.
It is some juggling, but I think because it's also joyous, it comes out very easily. And I always just find the time to do it because I love it all so much. And I think this is sort of akin to what it is to be a composer nowadays, a working composer. I don't have a day job. I mean, I do have a day job composing. I don't have any other job. You know, this is what I do. I'm a composer and a publisher. And as a result, I wear a lot of hats. There's a great deal involved in, it's beyond just writing the music, in getting the music out there. And, you know, and it's a lot of hat wearing, but because it's a joy, you're manically driven to do it, and it doesn't feel like it's been a 19-hour day. It just feels like, wow, this is just, I'm on a roller coaster ride. It's just really fun, you know? There's this, and then there's that, and there's this, and you're doing so many things at once and keeping a lot of balls up in the air at once. I think it's not a well-suited career to people where it does feel like frantic juggling too much of the time, because that means it's not fun. It's not fun enough. That means it's really a lot of work and a lot of effort. And I do think one of the great joys in life and one of the great privileges in life is doing something that you love and doing something as much as possible that's really fun. And I feel so lucky to do that. And then on top of it, to live in a beautiful place, if you can manage that. And now technology gives us as artists that ability to live where we want, particularly those of us who aren't performers, who aren't touring, who can stay home and do what we do, whether that's in the visual arts or whether that's in, you know, composing. You know, there are a number of arts that would fit that category. It is phenomenal, the international careers we can have without leaving our little wooded cabins. It's quite something.
Do the titles come first sometimes, like Bioplasm or Alexatronica or not, or it's like, oh, yeah, that'll work? Or?
Usually they come afterwards. Usually the pieces have to kind of name themselves, sort of like puppies. You know, you have to let them run around the house for a while and decide what their personalities are. I think a piece of music is like that. Set it out of your studio, let it run around and wreak havoc in your house for a while. Let a few people listen to it, you know, then figure out what the title is. although sometimes I come up with titles beforehand, but I'd say 2/3 of the time I don't. I let them figure out what they are in the world, you know, and what I want to say. And also, this is an interesting thing psychologically, that the title, when you think about it, is the only piece of advertising a piece has. It's the only thing that's going to tell a public, even give them a clue, what it is, and maybe even poke something in them to determine whether they want to listen to it or not, the title, which is interesting psychology. And so sometimes the title is a matter of drawing in an audience to something or giving them, just setting them up a little bit for an expectation. Sometimes it's not, but sometimes it can be that.
My classic example is, who wants to see Ballet for Martha when you can see Appalachian Spring? To me, the classic title.
That's right.
Example.
Symphony number yada yada versus Threnody for the Victims of Hiroshima.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a difference.
Yeah, that description. Yeah. And to me, that's always a starting place. That it can be a great launch board, or could just be, okay, Second Concerto for Orchestra is a great piece by Steve Stuckey. The title is not evocative.
Right, not
all
at
these
all.
Names that are
which really surprises me, because that piece, I mean, this is a beautiful piece, Steve's piece. We talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
And it's a really passionate, driving, compelling piece. His music is wonderful. And it almost begs to have a title that would describe it to people. But then again, you could argue it doesn't need the title, because just get them in the seats and play it for them and they'll go, wow, you know? So
well, herein
that's a traditional way of titling, you know, String Quartet number 3 or Second Concerto for Orchestra. Very, very Western European traditional.
We're hearing some of Deep by Alex Shapiro, written for contrabassoon and electronics. Deep by Alex Shapiro, a work for contrabassoon and electronics, also threw in some additional percussion on this recording from Notes from the Kelp. It's an Anova CD of Alex Shapiro's music. We heard Leslie Leshinsky, Dan Morris, and an electronic track realized by the composer, Alex Shapiro. Find out more online at WITF.org and click on Composing Thoughts.
Alex Shapiro, thanks for talking to me. The music's getting a little loud, and we will do this again, maybe under slightly quieter circumstances. But this was
I hope the scotch
lovely.
Is as good, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Cigars, too.
Cigars, too, exactly.
In New York, that's hard to do indoors.
We have to do it outside, in the park, maybe, Central Park. Maybe. Cigars and scotch in the park.
Yeah.
Come join us, folks. We'll let you know when that's going to be. We'll make it a party. Put out a few blankets.
Yeah, hey.
It'll be fun.
And we'll stream it.
John, you are a total delight. I am so delighted that you contacted me and that we're doing this. It's so great to talk to you.
Very fun. Thanks.
This program is a production of WITF Harrisburg. Learn more about Composing Thoughts online at WITF.org. Our music director is Dick Strasser. Mitzi Trosel is WITF's director of radio. I'm John Clare. Thanks for listening to Composing Thoughts.